probably all get frustrated at work. But I was thinking this morning, what about a job where you never got off duty? And then I thought, you know, that's exactly what a mom does. She's never off duty. Her children are never far from her heart, whether she's 25 years old or whether she's 65 years old. Her children are always near her heart, and there's no greater blessing in life for a child than a godly mother. You know, today's a special day as we celebrate Mother's Day, and I think about as parents, we could all attest to the fact that we all want to be good parents. I've never talked to a parent who, you ask them, hey, would you like to be a good parent? And they say, oh, no, I don't think it's really that important. I think every parent would tell you, oh, yeah, I want that more than anything else in the world. You know, it's amazing how quickly that our kids grow up. I was just thinking, one day, you know, you're putting them in the car seat, and almost overnight, they begin to ask for car keys. And it's just, I mean, time passes so quickly. The time that you have with them is very short. It's a blur. And I think about also the fact that the pace of life that we live in these days, there's constant pressures from our careers or from other places that put our families at risk. It is a hard time to be a young person these days. And so then that I thought about this question. Is it possible to be successful at a career and at the same time to have a healthy family, to be a good mom or be a good dad? This morning I want to look at things that your children need most, things I guess that I've learned through the years, some things I haven't always learned the right way, some things you learn the wrong way. You know, it doesn't matter whether you're a parent or not, there are children in your life. They may be nieces, they may be nephews, they may be neighbors, but these are children that you have influence over. And I want to talk about what they need most, things that God provides for us as a Heavenly Father. First of all, kids need, and I'm going to start with the most obvious one of all, kids need unconditional love. You know, we are thankful for God's unconditional love. Our kids need our unconditional love. There needs to be a place where they are accepted, warts, flaws, and all. Places where they can say, I know, you know, you as a parent look at them and say, I know everything about you. I know you're good, I know you're bad, and I love you anyway. John, 1 John 4:7 says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. I'm going to use some paraphrases to some of these verses today because I think the Living Bible says some of these pretty well today. The Living Bible paraphrases this, practice loving each other, for love comes from God. I like that word, practice loving, you know, because love's not an emotion. There are some days you may not feel very good about your kids. But that doesn't mean because you are upset with them or disappointed in them that you stop loving them. Love is more than an emotion. It's an act of the will. Love's not natural for us. And, you know, it's not always easy. You have to learn to love oftentimes by practicing it. And what better place to practice love than with those people that you're forced to live with all the time? You know, your family. It's easy to love people at a distance. It's harder to love people. It's harder to get along with them sometimes when you're around them all the time. But there's a few ways this morning I want to talk about expressing love. We express love to those that are closest to us, that we express love to those in our family. Sometimes we love our kids, but we don't express it in a way that they get it. Number one, love your kids with affection. They need to feel it. Affection. They need to feel it. They need a hug. They need a kiss. They need a pat on the back. They need a touch to say, I love you. Affection is one way. Secondly, affirmation. They need to hear it. You need to tell them. Not only do they need to hear it, but you need to tell them. Tell them that you love them. Tell them about something they do well. Tell them that, you know, you're a very compassionate young man or you're a very honest young lady. You know, those kind of things that you can build up in their life over and over again, begin to build a foundation for them. Tell them how caring they are. Whatever it is that you look at them and say, you do that well, tell them that because They need to hear it, and you need to say it. Thirdly, attention. Affection, affirmation, and attention. Your child needs your attention. You know, when you look them in the eye, when you listen, you're telling them that you matter. And you know what? In a world where we are so busy, constantly busy, time's important. They need your attention. Obviously, more than anything else, kids need love. Many parents think, if I just love my kids, they'll turn out right. You know, I've heard people say that. But I want to tell you, that's just not true. You can love your kids with all your heart, and they may not turn out right unless there's some other things that you provide. Unconditional love is essential, but there's some other things that must also be there. Secondly, kids need direction. Study after study that I read, study after study indicates that the number one indicator of kids who grow up to be successful adults are those who have a stable value system. That's direction. The number one indicator is, do they have a foundation, a stable direction? You know, we all need a foundation. I think we all need a foundation, especially in times like today where the standard of right and wrong is so twisted and skewered that, you know, I look at society sometimes and I think this, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That's what got Israel in trouble. The standards are, I'm okay, you're okay, as long as you're not bothered by my values, we'll all get along. So there is really no right or no wrong. That's the way society is trying to teach us to raise our kids. That's not biblical. And if you raise them that way, there is no foundation. Because I believe as I read the Bible, there is a right, there is a wrong. Last time I saw statistics, 40% of children these days are born to unwed mothers. How many times have you heard someone say, it doesn't really matter what you believe as long as you're sincere? When people say that, I want to shake my head and say, you're crazy. You're crazy. It makes all the difference in the world what you believe. Kids need to know right from wrong. And as a parent, that direction is the number one factor whether they will turn out in life. A while back, 2020 did a piece on the explosion of juvenile crime in America. The conclusion was this: the rise in sociopathic juvenile behavior is due primarily, listen, to declining moral values. The moral vacuum that young people are growing up in today has resulted in a loss of concern for others. In other words, the world is all about me. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I see it everywhere. Kids need direction. They're desperate for it. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, you must teach these commandments to your children and talk about them when you're at home or when you're for a walk or at bedtime or first thing in the morning. You know, the Living Bible paraphrases that way. And I like these words, you. You. That's not the government. It's not the school system. It's not even the church. The Bible was talking to parents. You, parents, must provide that direction. And then that word must, it's not optional. It's not anybody else's job. If it's not done, it's because we're slacking off on our jobs. Teach. You know, if you're a parent, you're a teacher. You're always teaching. You teach your children something by the way you live your life. You know, if you sit around on a couch and watch TV 24 hours a day, you're teaching them something. What you value is often what you're teaching them. And then finally, these commandments. You know, God didn't give us 10 suggestions or 10 things it would be good if you tried to do. He says, do it. They're meant to, you know, the moment you decided to conceive children, these didn't become optional. You made a commitment. God calls you to be a parent. And if we blow it in the area of parenthood, we've blown it in the most important calling we have in life. You know what? If I blow it with my kids, and I've blown it from time to time, I do far more damage than if I blow it in this church. If you blow it with your kids, it's far more important than if you blow it with your job. Children are the most important investment that you have. And you must teach these commandments, the Scripture says. That's direction. And that's their hope for becoming productive adults. Kids need unconditional love. Kids need direction. And thirdly, children need correction. They need correction. Hebrews 10:6 says, the Lord disciplines those He loves. If you love someone enough and you care enough about them, then you care enough to correct them, is what the Scripture teaches. God disciplines us because He loves us. He doesn't discipline us to punish us. He disciplines us to correct us. There's a difference between discipline and punishment. The purpose of discipline is to provide growth. The purpose of punishment is to inflict penalty. Discipline's focus is the future. Punishment's focus is the past. The attitude of correction is something I have to check myself at sometimes. Am I correcting them because I'm mad? Or am I correcting them because I love them and want their behavior to change for the future? That's discipline. You know, I want to tell you a story. I love this story. I read it this week. One of the best stories I've read in a long, long time. It occurred about 20 years ago in 1996. 1,000 baseball coaches descended upon the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee for the American Baseball Coaches Association Convention. There was a scheduled speaker, somebody that was 78 years old. The crowd that was there, some of them had heard about him and some of them had not. They said, man, when you hear this guy, it's going to blow you away. His name was John Scalinos. But he had coached since 19 at a college. This 78-year-old man shuffled up to the stage wearing his polyester pants like a lot of 70-something-year-old people do. But there was one thing about him that day that stood out. Around his neck, hanging down, was home plate. He wore home plate to speak in. But guess what? For 25 minutes after he started speaking, he said not a word about it. Finally, when he was about to close his speech, he said this. He said, you're probably all wondering why home plate is hanging around my neck. He said, either that or some of you have already written me off as a guy who escaped from the mental hospital. But then he goes on and he added, I want to tell you in closing what I've learned in my 78 years of living. And he said, how many Little League coaches do we have here today? And a few hands went up. And he said, how wide is home plate in Little League? There was a pause. Nobody really jumped out with the answer. And then somebody raised their hand and said, 17 inches. That's right. And he said, now, how many college coaches do we, or high school coaches do we have here today? And a lot of hands went up. How wide is home plate in high school? Well, 17 inches, they all said. Do we have any college coaches here today? How wide is home plate in college? And in unison, the college coaches said 17 inches. And then John Scalinos looked at him and said, and in the major leagues, how wide is home plate? 17 inches. 17 inches, with his voice bellowing off the walls by then. And what do we do with a major league player who can't throw it over those 17 inches of plate? And to a chorus of laughter, he says, we send them to Idaho to pitch up there. 17 inches. He said, I'm going to tell you what they don't say. They don't say, okay, that's all right, Tommy. You can't hit the 17-inch target. So we'll make it 18 or 19 for you. And if you can't hit 18 or 19, we'll make it 25 inches. What we do is we hold them accountable. And then he asked those coaches, he said, what do you do when your best player shows up late for practice? Do you hold him accountable? What about if someone gets caught drinking? Do you hold him accountable or do you widen home plate? And then he hit the mark. He said, this is what we do in our homes today. With our discipline and with our parenting, we don't teach accountability when we widen home plate. And then he took out a small American flag and he said, this is a problem in our schools. Teachers have been stripped of the tools that they need to be successful and to educate and discipline our young people because we widen home plate. And where is it getting us? How many teachers do you know that think our schools are better today than they were 30 or 40 years ago? I'll be honest, I know a lot of teachers. I've never heard anybody say that. Then he took out a cross and he said, our church leaders, we're widening home plate. Coach Scalinos concluded to a standing ovation. I hope you will remember one thing. If we fail to hold ourselves to a higher standard, to the standard that we know to be right, and if we fail to hold our children to that same 17-inch or that same standard, that we don't widen home plate, if we fail to hold them to that standard, and if our schools and our governments fail, then the consequences, what are we going to do when they don't meet that standard? He said, I think we have one thing to look forward to. And with that, he flipped home plate over and revealed its dark black backside. And he said, dark days are ahead. Well, that was incredible. Because you know what? His message was clear. Keep yourself at 17 inches. Do what's right. Your children need to do what's right. That's correction. Discipline. And if you love them, the scripture says you provide it. And the Bible even says this, we discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. What's your standard? What do you expect from your children? And young people, what do you expect from yourself? Are you willing to hold yourself to a standard, or do you expect people to widen home plate for you? Correction. Discipline. Fourthly, kids need confidence. The fact is the world is tougher than it's ever been before. The pressure, the pace, the value systems, the expectations at school, higher than they've ever been as far as testing and things like that. Every young person, every child needs someone in their corner. Somebody who encourages them, someone who believes in them, someone who says to them that I know you and I know you can do this. They need confidence. Number one problem in high schools these days is self-esteem. Colossians 3:21 says, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Living Bible, again, the paraphrase says, don't scold your children so much they become discouraged and quit trying. Don't be unpleasable. Don't be the person who only sees the negative. Find something good in them and encourage them. Build them up. Now, that doesn't mean don't get on their tail when they do wrong. You got to get on their tail when they do wrong, but you got to provide the opposite of that too. You got to build them up. For every time you chew on them, you need to find 10 things that you feel good about. Because I'll tell you this, when I preach a sermon, 10 people may come up to me and say, man, that was a really good sermon. And one person may say, that's the stupidest thing I've heard in my life. I may not use those words. What words do you use, Ron? No, I'm just kidding. But I'm going to tell you something. It is the one negative that I remember. You do the same thing. It's natural. It's human nature to focus on the negative. And so we need the positive. So do your kids. Kids need confidence. They need unconditional love. They need correction. They need direction. And finally, the last thing this morning, kids need consistency. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says this, God is faithful. I mean, that kind of sums him up in a lot of ways. God is unchanging. God, the things that God loved in the beginning, God still loves today. And we talked about his promises. When God makes a promise, we don't have to wonder if he's going to deliver. He's faithful to those promises. As a parent, that's our goal. Inconsistent parents produce insecure or bitter children. There's no greater source of bitterness in people's lives than broken promises. If you don't believe me, well, believe me. I don't want to say what I was going to say, but I know people who are bitter over broken promises, lots of them. And I think the number one reason people become bitter in life is because of broken promises. And I think that that affects our kids when we break promises. I also want to say this, there's no perfect families. There's no perfect people. Young people, your parents aren't perfect. Guess what? Neither are you. And when you raise kids of your own, you won't be a perfect parent. Our goal, you know, only Christ is perfect. Our goal is not to raise perfect kids. Our goal is to raise healthy kids. Ones that can live productive lives. One that can fulfill God's purpose for their lives. Parenting involves more than creating kids. It involves maturing kids to the point where they can go out into the world, serve God, love others, and be productive. And parents, you're not going to have them forever. We know that. You know, it's happening in my life right now. We're passing them off. They're growing up. But as parents, there's a place where you can get the wisdom necessary for parenting. Wisdom that's absolutely tried and true and tested for generation upon generation, and it's called God's Word. He'll give you the wisdom to pull it off, to do the best that you can for them, for those that you love most. Not to be perfect, but to do the best you can. And I think that's your goal as a parent, to do the best you can. What's the secret of being a great parent? If I was to boil it down to one thing, I would say this. The secret to being a great parent is being a godly person. When you follow after Jesus, you will make the greatest impact on your kids. Hold them to a standard. Love them when they fail. And correct them. You know, I was thinking back. The people in my life that have made the greatest impact on my life are those people who held me to a standard. I don't care whether it was family members, school, teachers. The ones that just let me just pass on through and never expected much from me, those I can't remember who they are. but the ones who expected something from me. Those are the ones I remember. And as parents, I think it's all right to expect the best from your kids. Love them when they don't meet those expectations. Hold them accountable. But in every way, the key to you, the key to success, is they can look at your life. That's what a man of God looks like. That's what a woman of God looks like. And in doing that, you lay that foundation. Would you pray with me? Lord, this morning on Mother's Day, we think about our children, and there's no one that we love more. God, I pray for the parents that are here today that we might be able to raise those children up in a way that they understand what's right, what's wrong. We give them that direction. We give them the opportunity to know you and to one day live for you on their own without us making the decisions for them. Lord, I pray for the children that are here today that do live in a world that's, I guess, probably more things out there that can pull them away. Give them a heart for you. Give us as parents a heart for you. Lord, if there's anyone here today who needs to trust you as their Savior, who needs just to rededicate their life, because, Lord, we can't be the kind of parents we need to be unless we're loving you. Because as we love you, we love others. And we love them better. Speak to our hearts, Lord, during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.